V+1. Sector 0, New Kerguelen. The messengers, still only a pair, led Dan and Tara towards the elevator, which was now the only thing between them and the surface of New Kerguelen. The enormity of this really sunk in during the short descent, and Dan could feel his heart racing. "Do you want to step out first?" he asked Tara.
"Obviously," she smiled. "But not as much as I think you should be first. You have to be first. Nothing else makes sense."
As the elevator reached the ground, all thoughts of who would go first went out the window. All either of them could focus on now was the panel that was about to open and reveal the outside world. A million visions rattled through Dan's mind in an instant. What was he going to see? He had seen every movie and read most of the books, countless nights as a child, countless lunch breaks as an adult, all spent escaping to alien worlds full of wonder and surprise. With a real one now just inches away, he wondered which of all the imaginary versions would end up proving the most accurate. Would he step into a field, a forest, a city, a desert? The much-anticipated opening of the panel revealed a view full of unnatural metallic surfaces, telling Dan that city was, without doubt, the closest of his approximations. Tara nudged him forward to remove his choice of who would go first, and his first conscious thought related to the total lack of buildings. "I think we're still inside something," he said to Tara, although by the time he spoke, she was already next to him and thinking the same thing. "Maybe like an airport type of place?" Tara looked all around, growing progressively more certain that Dan was right. In truth, having imagined endless starlit vistas and rolling alien landscapes, she very much hoped he was right. The messengers stepped forward, encouraging their visitors to follow.
"Before we go," Tara said, "if I get the brain upgrade to be able to hear you and talk to Dan without actually talking, can you undo it before we go home?"
Both messengers nodded, far less awkwardly than when they had first attempted this human gesture. Tara's eyes widened hopefully.
"Can I still get it?"
Two more nods confirmed that she could, and two short, if painful, minutes was all it took for the messengers to repeat the process they had used on Dan a week earlier. Tara practiced the necessary finger positions, which Dan no longer had to worry about now that his mental acuity had increased with experience, and the near euphoric expression in her eyes when she first heard the messenger's thoughts made him more glad than ever that she'd come along.
"Can we go outside?"
she asked without speaking. Dan heard the question just as clearly as the messengers did.
"Without suits or anything?"
"Outside is no place for life,"
one of them replied, clearly having no problem decoding Tara's thought patterns. Dan wasn't sure if this was because they'd had plenty of recent practice talking to him, or if they had overestimated the differences between individual humans, but he didn't give it too much thought.
"Air breathable to us is air breathable to you," the messenger continued. "But you will find none of that outside. This area, Sector Zero, is the only area of New Kerguelen with a gateway to the universe beyond. The rest of our home is entirely enclosed, as is necessary to keep an increasingly hostile atmosphere at bay."
Tara and Dan shared a very different kind of wide-eyed glance before turning back to their hosts. "So you're always inside?" Dan pushed. "We're not going to get to go outside?" Merely feeling the need to ask this caused Dan's heart to sink before a reply even came. All of a sudden, Dan ruefully considered that this perhaps might not prove to be too unlike his trip to the secretive facility where he was taken by inquisitive federal agents on contact day. Then, as now, his eventual visit to the kind of place he'd wanted to go for most of his life had begun with an indoor arrival at the end of a journey that left no possibility of tracing its location. Unlike then, however, he knew there was no way he could ever hope to pinpoint this location unless it was shared with him, which seemed incredibly unlikely.
"We spend our lives inside, yes. This is of necessity. New Kerguelen's atmospheric conditions are far less friendly to life than was once the case. But fortunately, our ancestors built the Great Shelter when there was still time. Unfortunately, in recent times, the Great Shelter has fallen into disrepair. Without the elders to direct the necessary maintenance, the situation has worsened rapidly and continues to do so. Several sectors are already uninhabitable, and more are not far away. But as well as unity, we lack leadership, and more tangibly, we lack knowledge. The elders held the wisdom of ages gone by, and without access to that wisdom, we cannot begin the necessary repairs.
Dan's shoulders slumped. What? I can't help with something like that. I thought you just wanted my presence to unite your planet.
Humanity continues to build ever grander structures despite the great social divisions that permeate your planet,
the messenger replied.
Your presence can unite our planet, and our hope is that by fostering trust in humanity, it will allow greater outreach between our races. Our hope is that we can help each other with our strengths and be helped by each other in areas where we are weak. Our area of weakness is one for which we need help as a matter of urgency, but the membership of our planetary council currently distrusts us. Their distrust is such that if you are not here, they would disregard our reports of humanity's willingness to help, and they would reject the kind of information exchange that will be needed to repair our great shelter.
Dan pondered this for several seconds. At last, he could understand the logic of why he had been invited. To show the Planetary Council that humanity would be willing to help in a crucial matter the aliens couldn't handle on their own due to the unexpected deaths of their elders. A new perspective based on humanity's willingness to help would eliminate or at least greatly reduce factional divisions on New Kerguelen if the messengers were correct, and Dan was giddily excited by the possibilities of what could come next. He liked the sound of an information exchange between Earth and New Kerguelen, and the idea of anything close to diplomatic relations or official scientific cooperation brought his mind straight back to the once fantastical stories that had filled so much of his youth.
We will take you to the council at once, one of the messengers said. Would you like to see our elders?
Dan McCarthy nodded decisively. The setting may not have been quite the kind he had dreamed of, but he was regaining hope that the ending just might be.